on our way, illuminates the path we are to walk. Love lifts us high. Precious love we hold in the center of the soul.
Welcome to Experience Talks, where every week we feature special guests who impart wisdom and knowledge to enrich our lives and culture. I'm Dr. Connie Corley, and today's show is very special for many reasons. First, it's a delight to introduce you to the music of Jai Jagdish, the song With You from her just-released CD, I Am Nine, which opened the show. In addition to being my birthday, today's show marks the beginning of my fifth year as a host and producer of this groundbreaking program on KPFK-FM, Experience Talks. Along with founding producer and host Bobby Zeno and Tim Carpenter, who also hosts Experience Talk and maintains the website, experiencetalks.org, we represent one of the few radio shows in the world that brings visionary voices of boomers and elders to the airwaves. We promote positive aging and conscious aging, and our first guest today is one of the leading figures in this arena, Ram Dass. He comes to us via Maui to reflect on his devotional work and his life experiences, which have inspired millions of people. Then we continue the show conversing with the founder of the upcoming Moksha Festival, Arvind Chudamala. In concert with today's theme of sharing the jewels of wisdom from India, we'll hear about the multi-petaled lotus of wellness that will unfold on August 13th and 14th in Santa Monica. But first, let's hear some music by Bhagavan Dass. We are privileged to have today as our guest on Experience Talks, Ram Dass, also known as Dr. Richard Alpert, whose travels to India starting in the 1960s after leaving his faculty post at Harvard University have transformed him and millions of others. His classic book, Remember, Be Here Now, is a New York Times bestseller published in 1971, and his most recent book, Be Love Now, The Path of the Heart, as well as other books he's written, continue to inform readers and seekers on the path of consciousness. Ram Dass turned 80 in April 2011 and lives in Maui, where his work as part of the Love, Serve, Remember Foundation continues. We'll hear more about the foundation, the books, and the wisdom of Ram Dass in our time together today. Ram Dass, welcome to KPFK.
Thank you very much.
It's so wonderful to have you here. And I wanted our listeners to know about your sojourn, which went from the academic world and then became a spiritual leader, and how it's woven through your written and spoken words, as well as in your audio archives that are available through the Love, Serve, Remember Foundation. So I thought today we'd talk about the idea of consciousness and the many ways we experience it, and how the idea of conscious aging comes into play in our increasingly aging society in America. How does that sound?
Fine.
Good, good. So first, I'd like to ask you, Ram Dass, to share how your earlier experiences experimenting with drugs that alter consciousness and then discovering Eastern spiritual traditions, how has this led to your own conscious aging today?
Psychedelics first got me in touch with planes of consciousness, because previous to that, I was only one plane. And I was a psychologist, but it was all one plane. And I saw that these many planes of consciousness, I thought that the people in the East were very familiar with these planes, and I should go and find out about these planes from them. And I went and I found my guru, who t- taught me on many, many planes. And now that I'm 80, I sort of see myself as consciousness and my body as a vehicle for this plane. And my body is outside my consciousness, and I see my body aging, and my consciousness isn't aging at all, because my consciousness is not in time.
So your consciousness is more of an eternal sense. Now, I suspect that many people in American society don't operate on that level, and I know that you have been a proponent for many, many years of what we call conscious aging, which came about, I guess, maybe in the 90s and into the early part of 2000, and it seems to be getting a new resurgence again, and we welcome your perspective on this, so thank you for sharing.
I think we started conscious aging in the 70s, Zalman Schachter and I, we started with Omega in New York with the concept of conscious aging.
I'd like to ask you, because in your book, Still Here, which you wrote, I think the subtitle is Embracing Aging, Changing, and Dying. When you started writing that book, was before you had a stroke, and the stroke really, in a way, enhanced, if you will, through its fierce grace, your ability to understand and live through some of the experiences that you were talking about, going all the way back to the, you know, Omega Institute and beyond. So can you talk about how your stroke changed you from being someone who saw yourself primarily as how can I help, which is another title of your book, to how can I be helped? How was that transformation made after you had your stroke, being able to accept help, being able to see your body in a different way as dependent?
Well, the stroke happened to my body, and it allowed me, for example, I got in touch with silence because I couldn't talk. And I got in touch with my dependency on others because the stroke required other people to help me. And that was very strange for me because I had written that book, How Can I Help? I knew the power of helping. Suddenly I was powerless. And the helpers that I had, I saw them as souls, and we met as souls. Although we met in these roles, the role of helper and patient, and we started to convert the roles to souls. And the doctors I have, they're doctors, and I'm a patient, but we have a soul contact, and they are wonderful people.
That's a great transition to make in life as one ages or gets into any situation where we find that we really do need each other and that we are all working together. It's not one person gives, the other person receives, but it's all part of the same dance, so to speak.
That's right, so to speak.
So to speak. Yes. I've been reading your book, the latest book, Be Love Now, and I'm really touched by your stories about your guru, Neem Karoli Baba, otherwise known as Maharaji, and through the path of your connection with him and what he represented, you learned a lot about love. And of course, love is a word. I Googled love and there were about 7 billion hits on that word. So obviously, many people are interested in that. Can you talk a bit about how, th- through your guru and through the practices that you've learned over the years through these practices of bhakti, how can people come closer to this unconditional love you describe in the book?
The first contact I had, he read my mind, and that upset me a little bit. But then I realized that he knew everything about me. Then I looked at him, and he was looking at me with unconditional love. Those two things, knew everything about me and unconditional love, those two things that made me secure, and I felt loved. And I had never felt loved like that before, because always we have had roles in which love, mother, father, son, friend, etc. But I had never felt unconditional love. And that led me to feel that I was home. I was home in my heart. And I didn't leave. I stayed around there near him 6 months. And I had planned to stay about 2 days. But it was, it captivated me. It was just, it erased my life, my former life out of my mind. And I was down in my heart. I was not in my mind.
That's something that, as an academic, is certainly a very, very different path.
Yes. I realized that from my studies of psychology, that had never plumbed my heart, and my analysis and all that had never plumbed my heart. And he did. So this book about love, Be Love Now, is dealing with how that love worked on me. And I think what I did was it changed my identification from the ego in the mind, which is sort of who we think we are, and turned down to the heart and the spiritual heart, the soul. It identifies them that. And the ego is fearful, and the heart, the soul is rooted in love. And once I was identified with my soul, then I saw everything around me is love. And I loved everything around me. And it sounded crazy to me, but after a little while, I adapted to it, and I realized that I was living in an ocean of love.
I love that idea, the ocean of love. Are there ways that you, on a day-to-day basis or moment-to-moment basis, capture that essence of love? Are there expressions like you use the mantra, I am loving awareness? How can people use these practices to stay in that sense of love?
The first thing is they have to shift their identification from ego to soul, from the mind to the heart, the spiritual heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do that by thinking of the heart, the spiritual heart, as awareness and as loving awareness, because they are, the soul is bathed in love. So I think all they have to do is just bring the eye from the mind to the spiritual heart, and they can do that by saying, I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. And they should concentrate on the middle of their chest and to turn it to that. I am loving awareness. 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 And then you can, when you've got it below, in the spiritual heart, you have your identity there. Just say, loving awareness, loving awareness, loving awareness. And you're then residing in your soul. And then you see other people as souls. For example, I sit bedside of dying people, and the dying person goes from the ego to the soul in the process of dying. Some of them have done that in their life so that they, it's the soul, whole soul. But when you're with the dying person, if you yourself are at a soul level, you will see them as souls, and you will give them comfort and companionship all the way through the ceremony. In daily life, if your child, quote, your child, that's a role, and they can be a soul. When you get a soul-to-soul relationship, but not a role-to-role, so you get them, you see them as spiritual beings, and you see yourself as spiritual beings. And that's juicy.
It's very juicy, and I want to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Ram Dass from Maui on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 99.5 in China Lake, 93.7 in North San Diego, and streaming globally at kpfk.org. I'd also like to ask you, Ram Dass, if you could tell our listeners how they can stay connected with you. Obviously, we're doing it on the phone, and I know you also have been available through Skype. You were part of a Legacy of Wisdom project, and also every fall now you're part of the Bhakti Fest in Joshua Tree. I saw you last fall on the video that Sridhar Silverfine, who's also been a guest on our show, his interview with you. But if people wanted to be able to come in person, I assume you still do retreats and some one-on-one work, is that correct?
Yeah. First thing that they can do is tune in to our website, which is Ram Dass, RamDass, two Dasses, ramdass.org. And they have schedules for what their retreats and schedules for when people can come and see me. Sometimes people come some of that for a personal retreat. So that's the way it happens through my website.
Great. And I understand you also have a virtual community that you've set up through the foundation, through the website, ramdas.org. Is that correct? Like a virtual satsang of sorts?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And people can contribute to that. And, you know.
We've certainly covered a lot of ground today. We've talked about love. We've talked about dying, souls, and soul connection. And we're really very grateful to you, Ram Dass, for being part of our Experience Talk show and helping us give you a chance to celebrate your life and your 80 years and all the wisdom you've brought back from India.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, let's go out for now with a little bit more of Bhagavan Dass. Hi, this is Dr. Connie Corley, today's host of Experience Talks. Before we talk to our next guest about the Moksha Festival in August, here are some announcements about other inspirational offerings coming up in the next few months. The third Fall Bhakti Fest takes place on September 8th to 11th in Joshua Tree, California. The schedule is packed with kirtan, the devotional yoga of chanting, yoga workshops, plus inspirational speakers, a multitude of vendors, and even fire ceremonies. For more information, call 866-992-4258 or go online www.bhaktifest.com. That's bhaktifest.com. Ram Dass, who we've heard from, will be there virtually, and our past guest, Krishna Dass, will bring his creative kirtan to this amazing festival, which also contributes part of the proceeds to charitable organizations. And here's another important announcement. This fall's West Coast teaching tour of the inspirational spiritual leader, the Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, begins on September 3rd when he will give a lecture at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium entitled Enjoying the Miracle of Now. The evening will focus on mindfulness practices that will help people live fully in the gift of the moment. From September 6th to 11th, 2011, Thich Nhat Hanh will also offer a retreat entitled Together We Are One, Nurturing the Beloved Community, at the Deer Park Monastery in Escondido. The full itinerary, ticketing, and registration information can be viewed at www.tnhtour, that's T as in tick, N as in not, H as in Han, tour, www.tnhtour.org. By the way, there's a wonderful YouTube interview of Thich Nhat Hanh by Ram Dass, and of course, to be in Thich Nhat Hanh's live presence is truly a gift. Details on these events are on our Experience Talks Facebook site.
In the blackness of the night, your light shines on me, guiding me into the cave, the river of dreams, where the mystery worlds of fear and sadness beckon, or to lose myself in that ocean again. Where have you gone? I'm lost without your touch. Wrap me in your arms.
Please don't let me go. Shiva Shankara Bhavani Shankara. 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 Shiva Shankara Bhavani Shankara.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Connie Corley, and our next guest today on Experience Talks is the founder of an exciting festival coming to LA for the first time, the Moksha Festival. Arvind Chittimalla is a business technology consultant in the healthcare industry. He moved to Los Angeles in 2004 from his hometown, Hyderabad, and that's in India. So he's also a yoga teacher and a yoga entrepreneur. He founded three yoga ventures, the Moksha Festival, which we'll be talking a lot about today. That takes place at the Santa Monica College Performing Arts Center, August 13th to 14th. He also founded a virtual community called Yogi Loka, that's yogiloka.com, and a wellness sanctuary located in Venice, California. Anand Sagar takes an integral approach to yoga, including postures and breathing techniques, as well as meditation and music such as kirtan or chanting. Arvind, welcome to KPFK.
Thank you, Connie. First of all, a very happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
We both are Cancerians. I have a birthday in a couple of days.
Oh, excellent. Well, we'll have to do something to celebrate at the festival, so sure. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor to be able to talk more about yoga as a spiritual science.
Yes.
With a larger community.
Right. Well, we've had some talk about this earlier on the show, earlier this year, and I think it's really important, especially as we're looking at wellness across the lifespan, to talk about how practices such as yoga and what really is yoga beyond what some of us think about as, you know, going with your yoga mat and sitting on it and doing postures and coming home or doing some chanting and so on. I'd like for you, as we talk about the Moksha Festival, because that's going to get people interested in learning more about yoga and some of the other events, but to, you know, give us some more of a sense of the philosophy behind it. So the Moksha Festival is rich with variety. This will be on August 13th and 14th in Santa Monica. There's going to be yoga, workshops, vendors serving vegetarian and vegan food, kirtan concerts, and more. What inspired you to put together such a comprehensive festival?
Well, Connie, Moksha is, I would say, a third manifestation of a vision I had 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came here and started practicing yoga, I realized there is a very, very big chasm between what yoga is and what it's being practiced here.
Mm.
As of today, I would say approximately there are maybe 15 million people practicing yoga.
Wow.
And for most of these people, yoga means asanas.
Mm-hmm.
And
postures, meaning.
Yes, the yoga postures, the mm-hmm. physical activities. So as an Indian who has grown up in such a rich culture, this was a very sad fact of life in America. And about 3 years ago, I decided I have to start doing something in my mm-hmm. own capacity to bridge this gap. And it started off with a simple vision of really reminding people that yoga is a science of self-realization.
Mm.
And physical practices are just one of the eight limbs of Raja Yoga today.
Oh, okay.
So I first started a wellness center called Anand Sagar in Venice. And I think it has been very successful in spreading the message of Raja Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's still a small center, and maybe my voice is being heard by 2,000 people mm-hmm. in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized I need to find bigger platforms to just spread this message mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. yoga as a science of self-realization. And I noticed that, you know, festivals are catching up and a lot of people are open to these experiences.
Yes, definitely.
So I thought it'll be nice to take this message onto a larger platform like Moksha. So that is why I decided to, you know, do a festival of this nature.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what does the word Moksha mean? Why did you choose that word for this festival?
Well, Moksha means liberation.
Okay.
In a metaphysical sense, it's liberation from the effects of karma.
Mm-hmm.
Karma, that's space, cause, and space, time, and causation, really. So this is the ultimate destination of every yogi. And when I say yogi, I'm referring to any spiritual seeker or
okay.
the seeker of the truth. Because once you realize the true nature of yourself, you realize the true nature of everything in the world, because the macrocosm is a manifestation of
mm-hmm.
the microcosm.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought if I choose a name like this, it instantly you're reminding people of their goal of the spiritual practice, regardless of what it is. Because really, if you look at any wisdom traditions in the world, this is the ultimate destination.
Right. Everybody wants to feel positive energy and the freedom, as you talk about, that liberation from suffering.
Yes.
Yeah. And feeling good and feeling connected. I think that's another piece of what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, feeling connected to the higher purpose and energy of the universe.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds like a great way to spend a couple of days as a reminder of what is possible. So one of the things that is very interesting about the festival, and I know you're tied in with LA Yoga Magazine is a media sponsor, and in addition to yoga, they have articles on Ayurveda. So I wanted to talk a bit about Ayurvedic medicine, because I think a lot of our listeners are not that familiar with it, and it's a very ancient tradition, correct? Goes back to 5,000 years or more in India?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about it? I read in a medical journal that Ayurveda is considered a comprehensive approach that includes the mind, body, behavior, and the environment. So one thing that I noticed in reading up on Ayurvedic medicine and recommendations for food is that the seasons come into play, for example, when dietary recommendations are made. Can you talk a little bit more about what's the kind of the science as well as philosophy behind Ayurveda, and what does it take to become a practitioner?
Yeah. See, yoga and Ayurveda are two sister sciences of the six Vedic philosophical systems. And I realized that these two sciences are so intertwined that it would not justify talking about spirituality without mentioning Ayurveda. You know, one simple way of describing Ayurveda is its yogic diet, I would say. Because the ultimate goal is obviously to be in harmony with everything around you and in peace. And some of the fundamental principles in Ayurveda are, you know, aligning yourself with nature. So that goes back to what you talked about, the seasons and how you can modify your diet to different seasons.
Okay.
Because there is this belief that the earth is self-sustaining. And Mother Earth knows what you need in different seasons. So that's why you see certain kind of fruits and flowers growing in different seasons. So if you pay respect to what Mother Nature is giving you and eat according to what you're naturally getting, and also align yourself with, you know, the rise of the sun and the sun setting, It creates a very harmonious balance in our body. So this is one fundamental concept of embracing nature and aligning ourselves with nature.
Okay.
And then the comprehensive nature of it is in understanding what kind of individuals we are. And the technical, the Sanskrit word for this is a dosha.
Dosha?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can very loosely translate it to an energy type.
Okay.
And as you know, in Ayurveda, there are basically three doshas, you know, vata, pitta, and kapha.
So vata, V-A-T-A.
Vata, pitta, and kapha.
Pitta is P-I-T-T-A?
T-T-A.
Okay, and kapha is K-A-P-H-A?
P-H-A.
Okay.
Yes. So each of these energy types have certain characteristics. And by doing a very basic self-diagnosis or even going to an Ayurvedic counselor, you can find out what energy type are you.
Okay.
And we are never really just one energy type. We all of us are a combination of these three energy types.
Oh, all right.
And in Ayurveda, they say that your body and mind are in harmony only when these three doshas are in balance.
Okay.
So when you go to an Ayurvedic counselor for any kind of treatment, this is the first thing they will do. And based on your dosha type and what dosha is in imbalance, they will start recommending a treatment plan, so to say. And the treatment plan will include diet, physical activities and mental activities like, you know, meditation and pranayama and all these things.
Pranayama is a form of breathing, right? It's a like a breathing meditation.
Yeah, it's different than
different
meditation
because
it's one of the limbs of yoga.
Okay.
In pranayama, you're really trying to control the flow of energy through various channels called chakras and nadis through the breath.
Okay.
Because the breath is the physical manifestation of this practice, we often relate it to breathing.
Okay.
But putting aside the intellectual definition, but it is, you can call it breathing techniques to control the flow of prana in your body.
Okay. And that's a form of getting more energy and, if you would say, like breathing more easily, so to speak. So.
Yeah, in its simplest form, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are certain ways of controlling the breath, retaining the breath, and exhaling in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a science of its own.
But you'll be doing some workshops, actually, at the Moksha Festival.
Yeah, we'll have a couple of workshops on breath work and pranayama.
Okay. Just so our listeners know, we're talking to Arvind Chitumala about the Moksha Festival coming up August 13th and 14th, and you can get more information on mokshafestival.com. Is that correct? Is that the website?
Yeah, it's mokshafestival.com.
Okay, great. I did ask you to talk a little bit more about the Ayurveda because I think that's one of the most unique things about this festival. So you'll have some Ayurvedic practitioners there, is that correct? So people can go and learn about their type and maybe get some preliminary recommendations?
Yeah, there are a few healing vendors. We have a healing camp, and a couple of the booths in the healing camp are represented by Ayurveda.
Okay.
In Southern California, there's an organization called CAM. It's C-A-M, California Association of Ayurvedic Medicine.
Okay.
So that entire organization is having a booth
at
the festival, and they will have a lot of practitioners from that organization there talking about Ayurveda and maybe even giving some free counseling.
Oh,
so we have a group of very, very reputed and specialized Ayurvedic practitioners giving workshops at Moksha. They're addressing various issues like Ayurvedic perspective on women's health, cardiovascular diseases, nutrition, the immune system, and then using Ayurveda for Ayurveda and sound for healing, and also marma therapy. Marma therapy, it is similar to massage, but it has signs of its own.
Right. So it's not like something that you go to someone else to get a massage. It's more of self-massage techniques.
Well, if you're trained enough, you can do some self-marma.
Okay.
So we have, and most of the speakers have been doing this for decades. They are medical doctors and specialists. Mm-hmm. And talking about places where people can learn Ayurveda, in Los Angeles, I can think of three places. Mm-hmm. The first one, and probably also the best one, is American University of Complementary Medicine.
Okay.
They have a number of programs starting from certificate programs to bachelor's, master's, and even a PhD degree in Ayurveda. So I think that is probably the first of its kind in the country offering a doctorate program in Ayurveda.
Oh, great.
And then you have Kerala Ayurveda. They have branches throughout California. I know they have a branch in somewhere in the South Bay.
Okay.
And they also partner with a yoga studio called Dancing Shiva Yoga and Ayurveda to have their courses. And I know there's another place called California College of Ayurveda. They have their headquarters is in the Bay Area, but they also have a branch in Southern California. These are the three places one could, start with.
So that's pretty comprehensive.
Yes.
So people who are interested not only in what is Ayurvedic medicine, but getting some training have a lot of choices here.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Arvind Chitumala here on Experience Talks, KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 99.5 in China Lake, and 93.7 in San Diego, as well as streaming globally at kpfk.org. The website for the Moksha Festival that we're talking about is mokshafestival.com for more details on this unique event in Santa Monica coming up August 13th and 14th. And our guest today is the founder of this program and several other things. And Before we talk about some of the other things going on with the Moksha Festival, I thought it might be fun, since there's going to be music as well as medicine, so to speak, to hear a little bit more of Jai Uttal, who brought us into the show with Bhavana Shankara. Thanks to Jai Uttal, who's going to be one of the kirtan artists at the Moksha Festival. So Arvind, tell us a little bit more about how the music, the kirtan, will come into play in the Moksha Festival between the dates of August 13th and 14th.
Yeah, we have kirtans on both the days.
Okay.
On day one, my goal was to represent traditional Indian-style music.
Okay.
So I also chose artists accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the American artists that I've listened to, I find Jai Uttal, his style of singing to be closest to Indian-style singing among Americans.
Right, right. Well, even though, for example, in the cut we just heard, he has the sort of Brazilian flair to it, but he does have a lot of classical training.
Yeah, he has a lot of classical training from the Ali Akbar Khan College of Music. And also the number of years he has spent in India and his dedication, one mm-hmm. can see it. I first listened to his CD 8 years ago when I was still in India, and then I did not know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
But I was instantly, I fell in love with his voice.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And I thought, someday I have to meet this man. I never knew I'll be meeting him so soon. So he is an exceptional artist and a lot of respect for Indian tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he'll do justice to day one as the headliner.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another artist called Cooper Madison.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Los Angeles-based kirtanwala. A lot of training in Indian classical music. And you can just tell from the way he sings, he loves it, really.
Mm-hmm.
And
it just
comes out. And before him, myself and a couple of my music school friends, we'll be doing a very short introduction in the traditional Indian classical style. We'll be
great.
We plan to sing one song by ourselves and then also lead another mantra. I've been training in Indian classical music for a few years now, and by being at Moksha, I want to encourage people to try Indian classical music because it is. It's very comprehensive, like anything with Indian philosophies.
Yes.
And when you learn some of these Indian ragas, you will realize how many things you can convey with the raga-based music.
Mm-hmm.
We have certain ragas for different times of the day. You use certain ragas to create a certain emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
The forms of expression just multiply when you have a background in Indian classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And also to thank my music teacher for imparting all her wisdom the last few years.
It's always good to honor your mentors, so why not do it at a festival, right?
Yes, exactly. And on day two, I decided to open it up to anybody who's not so traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
that some of these artists can't sing traditional, but I think it's their natural style to have a combination of more Western melodies
yes.
and Indian Sanskrit chants. So we have Donna Delory as one of the lead singers on August 14th.
Yes, Donna Delory is very well known here in Los Angeles as well as internationally.
Yeah, she's the local darling.
The local darling.
I've listened to her a number of times, and I really fell in love with her voice and the way she combines the sacred mantras
mm-hmm.
without really compromising
mm-hmm.
on the power of those mantras.
Right, and we'll hear her at the end of the show, some of her songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then before her is Simrit Kaur. She's also slightly different in the sense she comes from the Kundalini yoga background.
Mm-hmm.
And although they don't really chant a lot of songs in Sanskrit, sometimes
mm-hmm.
they sing in Gurbani, which is the spoken version of Gurmukhi.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, any sacred music is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make an effort to reach out into the Kundalini community as well and
mm-hmm.
encourage them to be part of the bigger festivals like Moksha.
Okay.
And then we have, before her, Daniel Stewart will be opening the show.
Okay.
He's the owner of Rising Lotus Yoga in San Fernando Valley. And he's an amazing singer. I've been observing him the last few years. He's been taking training with Jay Uttal, actually.
Oh, okay.
And what can I say? You just listen to him and they'll speak for themselves.
But it's quite a comprehensive lineup of musicians, and I think a lot of people who've never had any exposure to kirtan or even the classical Indian music will be very well treated. So
yeah.
I did want to ask you, I understand that you can come to the festival for free for some of the offerings, but for the music, for example, you pay a fee for the
yeah.
for either day or for both days. But for people who want to come and they're not sure, you know, if they can either afford the entire festival, they want to check it out first. What are some of the things that they can do just to come and be at the festival for free?
Yeah. There are four main things that are happening at the festival on both these days.
Mm-hmm.
One is there is a large vendor exhibition at
okay.
the venue. We have about 50 to 55 vendors
mm-hmm.
selling products and services related to yoga, Ayurveda, and the healing space.
Okay.
So anybody can go and check out the vendor booths for free.
So that includes like the healing camp?
Yes.
If people wanted to get some body work or
yes.
these other modalities? Okay.
Yeah. So they can check out all the vendor booths. And then the second part of the festival is we have a spiritual art exhibition.
Oh.
There'll be five artists displaying their art with a spiritual genre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So any visitor can go and also check out the spiritual art exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to attend the workshops and sacred music programs, one needs to purchase tickets.
And they can do that online, right, at mokshafestival.com?
Yeah, they can purchase it on the website or at some of our pre-moksha events. A one-day pass is $70. That gives you access to all the workshops in the day
mm-hmm.
and all the music programs. And a two-day pass is $108.
Okay. All
yeah.
right. And so if people either go online or go to, you mentioned these pre-moksha events, if they go on to the mokshafestival.com website, they can find out some of the events going on here, like on the weekends mostly. Is that right, here in Los Angeles?
Yes. I'm planning to do most of these on the weekends. And all our pre-moksha events are posted on the website.
Oh, great.
And we also have a Facebook page called Moksha Festival.
Ah,
you
wonderful.
Will see it posted there. And we are also sending weekly newsletters to about maybe 5,000 odd people in the city. So if you're on the mailing list, you'll be informed. And if you want to get on the mailing list, you can go to our website and there is a place where you enter your email address and subscribe
Excellent.
To our newsletters.
Right. I already get that. So that's actually probably how I found out about the festival and all the events in the first place. That's wonderful. I wanted to come back because we've got enough time to talk about the music a little bit more. We've already mentioned the art. And I want to get a little bit of time to talk about the food as well, because that's often one of the great draws for a festival. But the nature of sound is very important, as I understand it, in yoga and, you know, the larger, like you were talking about, ragas in India Indian music creating a certain emotion. So what are some of the healing elements that come from sound and from music specifically?
The language of Sanskrit is a very powerful language, mm-hmm. phonetically.
Mm-hmm.
Grammatically, it may be as cut and dry as Greek and Latin, but phonetically, it has a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it has power is, see, in the body, we have seven main energy centers called chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you have smaller chakras too in other parts of the body, but the main seven ones are along the spine, the Sushumna. So when you listen to a lot of these mantras in Sanskrit, they have syllables and words when pronounced right, they activate these energy centers mm-hmm. in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, the prana flows much more freely throughout the body.
The energy.
Yeah, the life force.
Okay.
So from that point of view, saying these words right is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, it's basic physics, you know. There are certain parts of the body which have a certain wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make a sound with the same wavelength, it creates resonance.
Okay.
So that energy channel opens up.
Ah.
So that's the fundamental principle, and it's surprising that the yogis recognized this 4,000 or 5,000 years ago,
yes.
before modern science. So that's why in Indian classical music, or when we chant, a lot of times you'll find people correcting you, you know, say
mm-hmm.
this right,
mm-hmm.
because there's a reason why you should say it right. Of course, you can also say it any way you want and still feel good.
Right.
But
right.
that will just be entertaining. It may not be uplifting or enlightening.
Right.
So that's the healing part of any sound.
Mm-hmm.
That we focus on when we chant mantras or even just sing songs, because it's healing, it clears the energy. And the other is, see, bhakti yoga is one of the four paths to self-realization in mm-hmm. yogic wisdom. Mm-hmm. And bhakti means devotion. It doesn't always mean you have to sing 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You can
mm-hmm.
be a devoted person just by meditating or chanting the name of your guru or a god
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in your mind. So in yogic wisdom, there are three ways of remembering a famous saint's name or a god's name.
Mm-hmm.
One is you repeat it in your mind. That, they say, is the most powerful way of creating an intention. The second way is lip syncing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really saying it, but you're still saying it.
Right.
And the third one is actually singing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, all of them are equally have an effect in guiding you to the divine at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But each has different effects. And singing, actually, they say, has the least effect because we are giving out a lot of our energy.
Ah. Ah.
But not everybody can sit silent and meditate, you know. So.
Right. Sometimes people need to come together, and I think that's why the chanting and the kirtan has drawn so many people to this practice.
Yeah. So singing definitely brings a lot of people, and the whole point of bhakti yoga is that, see, everything that has been created today
mm-hmm.
was a result of thought
mm-hmm.
and ether coming together, that spirit and matter together. So when you think about something, eventually you will do it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, so many people talk about the power of thoughts.
Yes, oh,
and,
yes, very big.
This has been talked about for thousands of years. So in bhakti yoga, the idea is if you are remembering God constantly
mm-hmm.
through any kind of chanting, eventually you will start thinking divine
mm-hmm.
acts.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually you'll feel like doing divine acts.
Ah.
And if you lived long enough and you do enough divine acts,
mm-hmm.
you will probably imbibe some of those divine qualities. And if you're lucky, in a few lifetimes, you will achieve moksha.
Ah, well, that brings us right back to where we started about what is Moksha and the Moksha Festival, which is coming up on August 13th and 14th in Santa Monica. It's at Santa Monica College, correct?
Yeah, this is at the Broad Stage in the Santa Monica College Performing Arts Center.
Okay, wonderful. And there will also be food. I understand Radha Govinda's doing some catering, among others. I've been very fortunate to enjoy their food. And thank you for being our guest today, Arvind Chumala. We're listening to Donna DeLore, who's going to bring us out with Om Namah Shivaya. And we also want to thank Stan Misrahi for the awesome production work today, our board operator, Ram Das, and the people who connected us to him through Bhakti Fest. He was our earlier guest today. And thanks to Shannon and Sridhar for our connections there, as well as Raghu Mitchell from Ram Das's Love, Serve, Remember Foundation. And remember to check out experiencetalks.org. And on Facebook, if you go to Experience Talks, we'll send you weekly reminders about the show. So do stay tuned for Uncle Ruthie coming up next. And next week's on Experience Talks, Tim Carpenter is our host. So Arvind, again, thank you for being our guest today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
We look forward to being at the Moksha Festival August 13th and 14th. And Donna DeLore with Om Namah Shivaya will be one of the featured kirtan artists.